Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everybody. It would seem that Dr. Eileen is having some technical difficulties. If you'll hang on for just a minute, I'm sure she'll be here. Ah, here she is.
Well, here we go. Thank you very much, Kaina. I was experiencing a technical difficulty. So this is Dr. Eileen, and see, that's why I have Kaina to back me up whenever something in technology decides that it wants to really have some fun with me. So, today's episode is dedicated to fathers and father figures by blood and by choice. And even though there's a lot of focus out in the world on, you know, fathers that neglect or abandon or who really are not very good, to say the least, at that position, and even though there's a sad truth to, you know, a lot of that, there are far more fathers that are struggling and striving, you know, and a lot of times without much acknowledgement to really take care of their families and, you know, to be in that good way and to guide them and protect them and do all those things that a dad really is supposed to do. And also sometimes, especially among spiritual communities, there's a little bit of a tendency to kind of knock the guys a little bit. You know, this episode is going to be for my brothers out there because, you know, you guys kind of get a bum rap sometimes. And the idea of male energy being characterized as this warlike aspect and, you know, and all of these, you know, hard energy type of things, while female energy is like, oh, and it's floating and loving and nurturing. You know what? That is male energy too. As much as warlike, you know, energetics are a part of female energy. And, you know, there's that whole thing of, you know, Mother's Day and, you know, really, you know, blessing and honoring. And as a mother myself, I really like getting, you know, all that attention. And I know mothers work hard, whether they're mothers by body or mothers by spirit. And let's give the dads equal time. Let's give our fathers equal time. And I know that everybody has, like, some really hard stuff, you know, in some ways, in relationships with fathers and in dealing with that idea of what is the father image? What is a father supposed to do? How are they supposed to be? How is it different between their male children and their female children? And often, you know, there's this whole idea of, you know, a daddy's girl and daddy's princess, and, you know, then the sons get, you know, whipped into shape and they have to be strong and big boys don't cry and all of that other stuff. While that can be a part of it, consider that, you know, that's how a lot of that generation was raised. And in many cases, and for, you know, quite a while now, there's been a trend where females are the, you know, single providers for the family. And it really creates a situation where a lot of times young men are not really clear on what it means not only to be a man, but what it means to be a father. And I call this episode Father of the Pride mainly because one of my favorite TV shows, which was fairly short-lived, was called, it was one of those animated type of shows called Father of the Pride about these group family of lions, and John Goodman played the voice of the father. And I was watching that, and the idea that here was this guy and, you know, trying to do the best he could and often not quite making it, not really knowing what to do with his family. And I was sympathetic. I really was, because it can't be easy, because you're expected to know. You're expected to have the answers. You're expected to provide. And sometimes that can be really hard, especially if, you know, maybe you didn't have the best examples. Maybe it's a situation where, you know, either the father was absent or there was, you know, for whatever reason, that there wasn't that example, that good example set. And knowing that, you know, there are a whole world full of reasons why people cannot be what other people would like them to be, especially in families, there's a whole world of reasons that, you know, why people can do it, why people can step up. And one of the biggest reasons that if there are, you know, issues with parenting, there is help. There is, you know, there's just all kinds of groups out there who want to be able to help people parent. And the idea that really probably one of the people that gets thanked the least, I mean, you know, some would debate that the mom gets thanked least, I would probably actually say it may be the dad. You know, it's really important to take a look at that male figure, and whether it's somebody who lives in your home, whether it's somebody who is just there for your family, whether it's somebody who spends time with your kids, who wants to step into that role of being the bad guy sometimes. I mean, growing up in the generation that I grew up in, so those of you who remember drinking out of hoses and before internet and when the TV only had three channels, one of the famous phrases was, well, wait till your father gets home. Your father is going to deal with you when he gets home. And as a child, hearing that was not fun. But as an adult, and when I look back, can you imagine being out working a really, really hard job all day, and then you've got to walk in and deal with whatever issues have come up? You have to come home and be the bad guy. You have to come home and be the most difficult person for these kids to deal with. I remember my dad doing that, and my dad was military when we were growing up. He didn't retire until 1970 out of the Air Force, which meant he was gone most of the time. And I really remember very strongly when he would come back, those times when he was between his assignments, it was almost as if he was sort of in the way. Because my mother would have, she had a routine that was all set up around us. And we had our naps at a particular time. We had, my mother was also Air Force. She retired after they got married. So we had a very, very clear pattern. We had very clear schedules. And when my father would come home, he's like, oh, okay, let's go do this. And my mother would be saying, well, no, this is when they take their nap. No, they can take their nap later. And while my mother loved my father with all of her heart, there was that feeling of, oh, my God, he comes home and he messes up all of my schedules and all of this. And the idea that he really wanted more than anything else to make the most of every single minute. And I know that it was also hurtful to him when he would tell us something and almost as if by reflex we would look at my mom to see if that's really what we were supposed to do. And he shared that with me before he passed away. He passed back in 92. And the idea that we kind of had to get confirmation that he had not set himself in our lives in a way where it was just, okay, Dad said it, we do it. We had to kind of go through the chain of command. And in our minds, Mom was the head of the chain of command. So I know it was really, really difficult for him to step into that role because it was something that was unfamiliar. It wasn't something, I mean, he really started being a full-time father when his youngest was 9 years old. So it made it really difficult to be able to manage that. And, you know, what did being a father mean to him? And looking back through all the years and, you know, the experiences and the family get-togethers and all of those things, now looking back, I see that he was just scared. He knew he had a family of four kids, his wife he wanted to take care of to the best of his ability, and it was tough. Times were hard. When my mother said she knew a gazillion ways to make hamburger, that was hurtful to him because somewhere along the line, he felt that maybe he wasn't able to provide in the way that he felt his family deserved. And I know that created stress in him. And I think of how many other fathers, especially in the world we live in now, that has so many challenges where, you know, finances are so difficult. People are losing their homes. People are, you know, underemployed or unemployed. And when you're basically the one that by your own upbringing, that you're the one who's responsible, that's a heck of a burden. That is a heck of a burden. And, you know, I honor all of you fathers out there because whether you are a father by blood or whether you have just accepted to take on to yourself to fill the gap that someone else left, I'm really honoring you. This should be your weekend. There should be a way to just have you feel that even if it's just that one day, that, you know what, I really appreciate what you give and what you suffer because far more men stay in there and fight the good fight than those who walk away. And there are women who walk away. There are moms who walk away. So we need to find balance in that where we have the male energy and the female energy. Because understand, male energy and female energy exists within all of us, each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what physical form we carry. We both carry both male energy and female energy. And often it's really difficult, especially if there was a difficult relationship between, you know, the child and the father, if it's, especially if it's a female, if it's a daughter, and there's a difficult relationship, often it creates a difficulty in us finding harmony with our masculine and feminine side. Because usually the most significant masculine figure is the father. So if there was a difficulty there, that means that we have a problem accepting part of ourselves. That becomes a bad thing. That becomes, well, it's overbearing. And I do understand that there are those out there who were just treated everything from badly to horrifically. I mean, the kind of stuff that makes you just want to look away and weep for that child. A lot of stuff happens. And for those who have no other tools than to resort to violence or to resort to anger and lashing out, mainly because of what they feel about themselves and their own wounds, and they take those wounds out on others. You know what? I hold you all in prayer and get help because it's out there. It doesn't have to be that way. Get help because you're better than that. You are better than what was passed down to you, and it can stop with you. And for those people who have grown up who had that type of relationship with either parent, I hold you in prayer each and every day because it can stop with you. You didn't deserve it. And you can reclaim that part of yourself. It doesn't have to be something that creates a split within you that doesn't let you heal. Healing is about finding balance. And as we find balance with those male and female parts of ourselves, and if we feel an imbalance in that, that's when we take a look at what were the relationships that maybe we're living out through that distancing. And even in most cases, even if there was all this hard, hard energy, the individual, that child, still wants to love that parent, and they still want love from that parent. And maybe there are parents out there who just feel very insecure about their ability to parent, and they just want love. As I said, my father was gone through most of my younger childhood, and I adored him. And to have known as an adult the emotions that he went through, the insecurities that he went through, that to us it was like, well, why can't I buy a guitar? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And there was just no money. And for him to have to admit, I'm sorry, you can't go on this trip with your friends because we can't afford it. As opposed to getting the lecture, well, you just don't appreciate the value of a dollar, and in my day I earned my money to be able to do things, and da-da-da-da, and all of that diversion. But deep down it was so hard on him because the money just wasn't there. And he had to deal with the fact that by what he was raised with, it was his fault that somehow he was not good enough for his child to get a guitar or to go on a trip with their friends or, you know, to choose a really fancy, expensive college to go to. My dad took that on to himself, and I'm sorry, so sorry that he went through that. And I was totally blessed that before he passed, we were able to talk, and he was able to share a lot of this stuff with me, a lot of his fears, a lot of what he wanted for us, that he so desperately wanted the entire world for us. He just didn't know how to give it to us, and that sat very hard with him. And I made it very clear to him that I felt very lucky to have the upbringing that I had, and that I realized how much he sacrificed so that we could have whatever it is that, you know, we did have. I mean, quite honestly, growing up, I really didn't think about us being poor. I just thought, well, a lot of people eat hamburger a lot. And my mom was a fantastic cook, so it wasn't that problem. When one of us wanted something, you know, four kids, you cannot get all of them exactly, you know, the same thing. You know, you had to work for it. And by working for it, by at least earning part of the money ourselves, it wasn't just a life lesson, it was a necessity. And understanding that as an adult looking back, it's like, wow, he really carried a lot to take care of me. He really went out of his way to make things safe for me. And when I think about some of the male figures in my life, my uncles, who would always be there and step in and help out, especially during the time that my dad was overseas, they are all beloved father figures to me. And they stepped in without being asked. And they fussed, and they supported, and they backed us up until my father could step in and be there full time with us. And I knew it meant a lot to my mom, because that's that other part of that whole father taking care of everything. There's the mom who in, you know, earlier times before it was fairly common for a mother to work as well as, you know, being the homemaker, back when mom was it. And I remember, you know, my mom and dad sitting down and going over bills. And even though my mother was one of the strongest women I knew, I mean, really, just she was a pillar of strength. There was no questioning. She felt so much better, even being as strong as she was, she felt better knowing that she had my dad to talk to and that she could turn to him and say, okay, what do we do? And even though the rest of the time, especially when my father was overseas, she would be the one to make all the decisions. She would do all these things. And when my dad would get back, it would be, even though she knew it was going to kind of mess up her schedule, and especially after he retired, she knew that she had someone to lean on, that she had someone who would take up that slack, that she had someone who, if we got a little bit sassy with her, would look at us and say, hey, you try that with me if you think that you're grown enough, but don't you ever let me catch you speaking back to your mother. That's something that really needs to be in the families. That's something that's just togetherness, where the mom and dad are a team. And you don't have to be married. There are a lot of divorced parents who are co-parenting beautifully because they place the needs of their kids first. They don't allow the kids to play them against each other. That they hold that space. And, you know, either way, whatever the circumstances that you guys couldn't be together, it doesn't mean that you cannot parent well together. And the big part of that is backing each other up. And the dad always, you know, was the one to really be that backup in my family. His was the final word, even though, you know, my mother could kind of work things around. But bottom line, if it was like flat out yes or no, you know, while yes, my dad had the power of decision, he also had the responsibility of it. And that's also something that I think is not as well presented, because the idea of them is like, well, they're bossy and my dad's so bossy and he always tells me what to do and da-da-da. I mean, we all went through that. And when it came down to it, the person who took responsibility for everything was my dad. He stepped up and he said, all right, good, bad, or otherwise, I've made this decision. And if it went bad, he knew it was all on him. And he also knew it was his job to make it right. And it's important for our dads to know that we love them and that we appreciate them. And that no matter what, you know, we know that they're there. That, I mean, you know what? Maybe they didn't make the right decisions. Maybe without intending it, by wanting us to be strong, they were hurtful. And it's okay to realize that they're human and that they're going to make mistakes. And I think of my father very, very often. And I always think of, I wish that he had lived to see me graduate chiropractic college, to see the look on his face out there. I wish that he had lived to see my sons become men. You know, it's easy to kind of take dads for granted sometimes, but believe me, when they're gone, you know it. When that person who was kind of the center of the old family wagon wheel, when they're gone and you realize you have to step up into a part of that legacy, suddenly it doesn't seem so unreasonable to fuss about a room being cleaned or fuss about how much money is being spent. Turn off these lights! You guys are killing me. Why do we have lights on in this house? My father would constantly fuss about that. And yet it was him who had to deal with, okay, the PG&E bill is here. A check needs to be written. PG&E is not going to care who left what light on, but it added to the bills. It added to the monthly bills that he knew he was responsible for keeping a roof over our heads. And I just really want to bless and honor all of the fathers, and especially the fathers who are fathers by choice, who take it on to themselves to help and guide and lead and nurture and protect. And like I said, often it goes without acknowledgement. So I acknowledge you with all of my heart. I acknowledge you. And when that time comes that that little one looks you in the face and says, thank you, or I love you, or I appreciate you, I know that that feels really, really good. So for all the kids, whether you are a little one or whether you are an elder yourself, whether your father is still here or whether your father has crossed, you know, into the next world, say thank you. Acknowledge them. Understand that they are divine beings having human experiences just like the rest of us. There was a song back in 91 that one of my favorite artists, Dan Fogelberg, did. And I played it at my father's funeral. And my favorite part is the very end when he says, thank you for the music and your stories of the road. I thank you for the freedom when it came my time to go. I thank you for the kindness and the times that you got tough. And Papa, I don't think I said I love you near enough. Happy Father's Day. Now, for those of you in the Bay Area, I would like to announce a couple of things that we've got going on here at the Center for Creative Living in beautiful San Jose, California. On June 26th, my friend Norbes is going to be teaching a class on introductory didgeridoo. So if you've ever been interested or wondered about that particular instrument, come on down. We've got some practice didges. If you don't have a didgeridoo, we've got some for you to practice on. And it's a really interesting breathing way that, you know, you go into. And it is just a lot of fun. And that's going to be at 6:45, Tuesday, June 26th. And the fee for that class will be $20 per person. Or if you find a friend, then you get two for 30. And also, I'm going to be doing a class on July 10th, which is going to be really exciting. It's an introduction to Terragetic meditation. And Terragetic meditation is a form of meditation that utilizes connecting with earth energies. And this particular class is going to deal with being able to connect to fire and water, which is just, it's an amazing way to connect your frequency with a frequency of a natural element. So that is going to be, once again, here at the Center for Creative Living. That's July 10th from 6:30 to 8:30, and the charge for that class will be $1. So if you want to hear more about all the stuff we've got going, you can go to meetup.com, meetup.com/divine events, and you'll see a listing of events and a calendar and all kinds of really cool stuff. So check out the website, and if you have any questions, you can always contact me at 408-372-2840, or you can shoot me out an email or chat. And my email address is dreileen@the-healing-house.com. So I want to thank everybody for being with me for another Tuesday, and I will be checking into the chat room right after this episode. So if you'd like to chat, then log on in. Otherwise, we will see you next Thursday at the same time, 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, here on Blog Talk Radio. So for myself and for the ever-effervescent producer, Kina, this is Dr. Eileen at Healing House Radio. And I wish you wonderful, blessed week. All you dads, happy Father's Day. I hope you don't get too ugly a tie. You know, guys, don't go with the ties. Find something else. Take care and blessings.